Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Rains. And this week we're going to be talking about a company that's looking to take on Gatorade and Powerade in the sports drink market. And then we're going to give you a little NBA 2K League update and then talk about some potentially big news from ESPN Plus already, even though it's only been out for about a week or so. But I want to start with Body Armor. And it's, quote, Body Armor Super Drink. And it's a sports drink that's been out for some time now. And some listeners might have heard about it. They might have seen some ads, seen it on social media accounts, or read about it. But I want to dive into kind of what's going on with the company and how they plan to shake up the sports drink market. I want to do this because they just came out with their second big set of national TV ads late last week that debuted during the NBA playoffs, as the NBA playoffs are heating up. So I wanted to talk about this. It seems like a good time for people to know exactly what's going on with Body Armor. But before I talk about what's going on now, it pays to know a little bit of the history of the company. So Body Armor launched in 2011. It was the product of Mike Rapole and Lance Collins, a New York City-based company. They're the parent company that owns Body Armor is their company called BA Sports Nutrition LLC. And they're two guys with huge drink backgrounds. Rapole is the co-founder and former president of Vitamin Water. He helped sell that company along with Smartwater to Coca-Cola for $4.1 billion in 2007. So he started that company and then helped it become a $4 billion powerhouse. And now you'll see Vitamin Water and Smartwater all over the place. And that was part of this, as people are slowly realizing that sugary soft drinks are not maybe the best thing for people to drink. This is kind of the world that's, this market that's growing bigger. And then Collins started Fuse Beverages in NOS, N-O-S, energy drink. And then he sold them, those two brands, to Coke that same year for a couple hundred million dollars. So these two guys have a big background in sports drinks. And then, so in Body Armor's first year in the market, it did about $1 million in sales that year. But then by 2014, they had done about $10 million in sales. So that's some pretty huge revenue growth over the first couple of years, but still not much at all. And the question is, what's their competitive advantage? What are they selling that they could think they can take on two huge legacy brands like Gatorade and Powerade, and especially Gatorade? So their pitch in the most basic sense is they're trying to say they are a healthier, more natural option, more electrolytes. I believe their pitch is twice the electrolytes or something like that, and then less sodium and less artificial coloring and flavors compared directly to Gatorade and Powerade. And for your reference, Gatorade is owned by PepsiCo and Powerade is owned by Coke. And right now, the two of those companies control about 90% or maybe more of the U.S. sports drink market. And Gatorade last reported about $5 billion in annual sales, just Gatorade, and Powerade came in at about $1 billion in annual sales. And there are some estimates that the industry itself is worth as much as $8 billion, but there's no hard and fast, this is exactly how much this industry is worth, but it's a big, huge, multi-billion dollar a year sports drink industry. And this past year in 2017, Body Armor made $235 million in retail sales. So they went from $1 million in 2011 to $10 million in 2014 to $235 million last year, and they hope to do $400 million in 2018. And they say, based on their own estimates, they have about 5% or so of U.S. market share at this point. And the question is, how did they go from $1 million in sales to 5% of the market? And why are we talking about it now? Because this clearly isn't, I'm only talking about this because I think it has the chance to become a pretty big company, and so do a lot of other people. And they did this through a lot of grassroots marketing and sending the drinks to athletes, and they They got a lot of young and up-and-coming athletes to be a part of the company early on. They got Andrew Luck hooked on it pretty early on, James Harden, multiple-time MVP in Major League Baseball, Mike Trout, Kevin Love, Richard Sherman, Rob Gronkowski. And what they were able to do is give these players who now make so much money and they need something to maybe spend it on or invest it on that can be a solid investment, they gave them equity stake in the company, which the big legacy brands like Gatorade aren't really offering people that are their sponsors equity stake in PepsiCo. They're just not going to really do that unless you'd want to buy the stock. Whereas Gatorade, for the longest time, had been relying on older athletes like Peyton Manning and Derek Jeter. So they were really going after the younger generation of athletes. And what I really saw is when I was researching all of this is that I think they really made a big turn when they landed what I'm gonna call a whale. They got Kobe Bryant hooked on it the summer after he was recovering from an Achilles tear when he was still playing in the NBA in 2013. And I guess he was drinking cases of it as he recovered. And later that summer, he decided he was going to get in. And he reportedly bought a 10% stake of Body Armor worth about $4 to $6 million at the time. He joined the board of directors and he became the third largest shareholder. And he now has a huge involvement with the company. Another big investor is Dr. Pepper Snapple Group. In 2016, they increased their equity investment by a decent amount to bring their total up to $26 million, and they now own about 15% of the company. So some big players are involved with Body Armor. And looking ahead, it seems like the sky could be the limit for this company. They signed a deal with the UFC in October of 2017, and that could be huge going forward as the UFC gets a little bit bigger. And then these young stars are really how they're going to grow. And the fact that they're trying to market this as a healthier option, which, like I said, more and more people are starting to realize maybe I can't be drinking 5 Cokes a day or drinking a bunch of Gatorade because it's very sugary. So it's unclear exactly how much healthier this Body Armor is compared directly to Gatorade, but there is a lot less sodium and there's more electrolytes, less artificial coloring. So I guess that in itself is a relatively step in the right direction. And then I was watching an interview recently with the owner and Kobe Bryant, and they were talking about how Gatorade specifically has not innovated. And the guy was saying that they haven't innovated since 1965 when they came out. He said, besides new bottles and ways to sell you their product, nothing's changed. They just have new colors, which I thought was really interesting. And they are already in some big stores. You can find Body Armor in Target and Walmart, Kroger, Sam's Club. So they're all over the place. But I really think their growth is going to come down to getting out there. People need to hear about them. And that's where Kobe and these young athlete stars or younger generation of stars are really going to be able to push the product going forward. So the new campaign that came out last week was created by Kobe. This is his second big campaign he created for them. His first one was Obsession is Natural, a campaign that actually ran, their first big national campaign that ran exactly a year ago, right when the NBA playoffs are starting. And then this year, they debuted their second big national advertising campaign with 4 separate ads starring James Harden from the Houston Rockets, probably going to win the NBA MVP this year, and then Kristaps Porzingis from the New York Knicks, a huge basketball star with a big international appeal, Skylar Diggins, a WNBA player, and then Mike Trout, who has won multiple MVPs in Major League Baseball. And the commercial is actually pretty funny. It's just showing these 4 people doing things that you wouldn't expect them to do. So Harden, who's known for his fashion just as much as basketball maybe, shows up to the game wearing like a Revolutionary War clothing outfit with a guy playing drums behind him. And it was like, James Harden wouldn't show up wearing this. Like, why would you keep drinking Gatorade? And then they have some other goofier ones where Trout and Skylar Diggins are doing like 80s workouts, which no one would do. In the exact tagline at the end is directly calling out Gatorade. It says, "Thanks, Gatorade. We'll take it from here." So they're straight up saying, "We're coming for you, Gatorade," which is, it takes guts to do that, but it also, it's going to help them going forward, because I think more and more young people are just, I don't know, they're ready to look for something new. I think that's what you see in a lot of places. And I want to just sort of wrap up this topic with some of my final thoughts on body armor. I see it similar in not only name, but in situation to what Under Armour was in the early 2000s. As a little side note, they actually, Under Armour sued them when this first came out for like infringement on their name. It didn't end up being a big deal at all. But I think that where Under Armour looked to be in a similar spot as Body Armor, where they're coming for Nike and Adidas, making them be like, oh, who are these guys? Especially when they first started making shoes, Body Armor's now maybe scaring Powerade and Gatorade a little bit. But I think they also have a maybe a better chance because they're getting these younger stars, and they're getting them across a wide range of sports, where Under Armour has really only gotten Steph Curry and maybe some other ancillary players. And then another big reason, and I this might sound kind of silly if you don't know a lot about him, but Kobe Bryant's influence, I think, is going to be huge. He knows all these athletes look up to him, and then you just can grow that circle from there. And also his skills off the basketball court are, I knew he was well-versed in the business world since he left and during his career making a lot of money off the court, but I didn't really know how much he was doing off the court until I started researching for this episode. And so he's not only a Hall of Fame basketball player, and he made most of his money obviously playing basketball or from endorsements via playing basketball. He made $323 million in career salary and then about $300 million in off-the-court earnings during his playing career, which is a lot of money. But then as he was playing, so he retired in 2016. So in 2013, he co-founded a venture capital firm with Bryant, which is named Bryant Stibel, with former president and CEO of Web.com, which is a small business website. And one of their first investments was Alibaba, right before it went public in 2014. So they're doing pretty well from that. And then this was sort of under wraps for a long time. So they didn't officially unveil this new VC fund, which is called Bryant Stibel, like I said, until after he retired. And it's a $100 million VC fund, and it's focused on technology, media, and data is companies are looking to get involved with. And then Kobe's also involved heavily in Body Armor's actual ad campaigns. I saw that his title might be creative director, along with being on the board of directors and a huge investor. So he is writing a lot of the copy and creating the advertisement campaigns. And it's crazy because he's already won an Oscar. It took Leonardo DiCaprio like 20 years, and Kobe retired from the NBA and then won an Oscar for best animated short film like 2 years after he retired, which is crazy. And then he also has his new ESPN Plus show. And this is funny, and you can believe him or not. I kind of believe him because he seems like this kind of person. In a CNBC interview recently, he said that he wants to be known more for helping entrepreneurs and investing in the business world than he does for playing basketball. I'm not sure how possible that is, but that's how dedicated he is to this company and all the other companies that he's invested in. And one thing I've heard people talk about in with Kobe in reference to Body Armor is he is hugely, hugely popular in China, and sports are growing more and more popular in China, specifically basketball. And if Body Armor can make inroads into China, I think the growth there could just be exponential. And Kobe even said recently that he expects, and I think this is obviously wildly just like a crazy expectation. He said he wants Body Armor to be the number one sports drink by 2025, which I mean, maybe that seems kind of crazy to think they could do that. Who knows? Maybe it just takes off. Maybe it doesn't. And for a little perspective to how popular they are right now, because I was talking about their influence with younger athletes and the younger generation, their social media presence is still, it's comparable to Powerade's, but it's still way less than Gatorade's. So Body Armor on Instagram has 123,000 followers, and then 41,000 followers on Twitter, where Powerade has 128 on Instagram and 147,000 followers on Twitter. Gatorade, on the other hand, on Instagram has 1.1 million followers, so they have about 900,000 more people following them. So their presence is there, and they have way more followers on Twitter, 334. So they're still a long way to go for Body Armor, but they're really, I mean, you can't compare Gatorade to Body Armor because they're just that completely different stages in their life cycle as a company. But you know things are getting good for Body Armor in that they're really shaking things up, because Gatorade has come out now. As soon as Body Armor dropped this new ad campaign, Gatorade's responded with its own ad campaign. It has Bryce Harper. I don't know if it's an official campaign that you'll see on television, but it's basically just saying, backed by science or proven, I think the tagline is proven tested Gatorade. It's shouting out that you can trust us. Who is this new and up and coming drink? Just touching on Body Armor, I think that it really does have a chance to one day become a huge, huge player in the sports drink market. But then again, it's possible that they get bought up by one of these companies, thinking, why not just buy them now for a bunch of money before they wipe out Gatorade and we don't get anything from it. But their social media presence has to improve. And that kind of brings me to another big company that I wanted to talk about today, or another big young focused section of the economy that has taken social media to be a huge way they drive growth going forward. And that is esports. So I've talked about it a couple times on the podcast, the new NBA 2K League. It officially has a streaming deal. The league's been in works for about a year. They had their draft last month, and now they officially have a streaming partner, and that is Amazon's Twitch will be official live streaming partner of the NBA 2K League, is the tagline. So the NBA 2K League, if you don't know, is a joint venture between the NBA and Take-Two Interactive, who makes the NBA 2K game. And if you don't know about Twitch, it's the biggest video game streaming platform there is. They claim to have 15 million daily active users, which is pretty crazy. And Amazon bought them for almost $1 billion in 2014. Just another thing Amazon bought that you might not even know about, that they're just taking over everything quietly. And so, yeah, that's a big deal, because Facebook was rumored to be in contention for this, but you have Twitch getting the rights, and they also have the rights for the NBA G League, which is the developmental league for the NBA, which the NBA is really trying to grow going forward to make it a more viable option that pays players better, instead of having a lot of guys who don't make the NBA go overseas to play. They want it to be a much more real development league, say like minor league baseball is here in the States. So that's a little update there. I think it's going to be a big deal going forward. A lot of people might not watch esports and might not watch it on Twitch, but I think in 10 years, esports has the potential to be maybe watched as much as any other sport in the world. I think right now, if you just looked at the raw numbers and just how many people in every different country in the world are watching esports, I think it is one of the most popular sports already. We just don't think of it that way. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about is something I talked about on last week's episode, and that is another company that is focusing hugely on streaming, and that is Disney's new ESPN Plus streaming service and some news that might help them get bigger pretty quickly. Because if you listened last week, I kind of trashed the new ESPN Plus. It's a $4.99 a month streaming service that I don't think offers users that much. It certainly doesn't make you want to get rid of your current ESPN cable package deal, because you're not really going to get to watch anything that's on there on ESPN Plus. But ESPN and Fox are reportedly coming together to try to split a UFC TV package. This would bring as many as 15 fights to the new ESPN Plus service, which is Disney and ESPN just saying, we need to spend a bunch of money to try to get people to sign up for ESPN Plus. So we'll see if that works. And it's funny because, yeah, ESPN said they'd be willing to pay about $120 to $180 million per year to stream maybe 15 fights, which is crazy. That's a lot. I mean, I know the UFC is pretty popular, even though the ratings have gone down recently as Ronda Rousey's left the sport and Conor McGregor's kind of off doing God knows what recently. But yeah, it's also funny because Fox and ESPN coming together could be, and I'm reading a little bit of the tea leaves here, could be another sign that maybe the Disney and Fox deal comes together, and you have now a company that just has every single possible entertainment, like video entertainment possible. You have sports, big national sports, movies, just everything possible. So we'll see what that looks like going forward. But yeah, I think that ESPN announcing they're willing to pay up to $180 million a year to stream 15 UFC fights is kind of crazy. And I think they're just right now willing to spend money to hopefully make money going forward, because I know that the new ESPN president has already said that he doesn't expect ESPN Plus to make money at all. They're actually going to lose money in the first couple of years, it seems like. So we'll see what that looks like going forward. But the big takeaway from this episode is I think Body Armor has a chance to become a big company, really shake up the industry. It's really small now, but that's how a lot of companies start. They're really small, and then all of a sudden they're massive. And I wouldn't also be surprised if in the next couple of years, if they continue to grow, if a company like Coke or Pepsi or Dr. Pepper, Snapple, who has a big stake in them already, just decides, hey, we're just going to scoop you up now because we don't want you to be a direct competitor years down the line. But that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Rains. And remember, if you have any questions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.